This episode is brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi, it rhymes, is the industry leader in Delta 8 THC products. Delta 8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. Go to 3chi.com, the number 3chi.com, to shop for Delta 8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S-21, at checkout and receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
I'm going to go ahead and need everybody to back up outside off the door. Ticket sales are closed. The Des Moines, Iowa Funny Bone has been shut down due to fire code because Sean Latham blew this motherfucker up. If you didn't get tickets, hang tight. We're going to see if we have anybody left. If we have any seats open, which we doubt, then we'll try to take care of you. Otherwise, just head to Des Moines.
.funnybone.com
for tickets.
See, Todd, that was me, Todd, foreshadowing what's going to happen.
And I believe it. I 100% believe it.
In Des Moines, Iowa, shutting her down.
I don't like how this hat's shadowing my face right now. Stupid.
It's a weird shadow. Bill. But I'm the smartest guy in this fucking podcast because I have a glass of whiskey and I have a tub of Rocky Road ice cream.
Oh, nice. It's what you're eating right now.
I mean, who's better than me? I got the and you know, the other thing is that the ice cream don't crunch down, you know?
What do you mean?
You know how to get that crunch noise. It's not like I'm eating chips and salsa.
Oh, yeah, because it softens the, plus it's nuts in there.
Yeah.
Not really. They're kind of a chewy nut anyway, but when you got all the ice cream soaking into it, come on. It's just chewy goodness.
Whoever invented those nuts in the Rocky Road ice cream, what a fucking guy.
I think it was Rocky.
No, this guy was a genius, bro. The way he put the Rocky Road ice cream together, I want to watch a documentary on how the fuck Rocky Road came to be.
His name, that was his name, Rocky Roads, but he shortened it for the ice cream.
Oh, so now we all think that it was Rocky Road, like it was a rocky road, like it's a bumpy road. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a rough ride, but hold on. It's worth it type shit, I thought.
No, it's just a dude's name. Rocky Roads, R-H-O-D-E-S, and he shortened it to Rocky Road.
What a fact by you. What? Top fact of the week.
Look it up on Wikipedia right now, ladies and gentlemen, because I made that shit up. You can't find it. It's not true.
That fact of the week is brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi.
I think it is.
That fact was undeniable.
And not true. So go ahead and Google it. You will not find that. I think Sean's guess was probably the most likely. I think someone was like eating chocolate ice cream and had chocolate covered peanuts and marshmallows on the side.
Yep.
Fell. And they got mixed together, took a bite, and they were like, phew, this ice cream, bit of a rocky road.
But way, 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 way worth it.
Mm-hmm. Did you take a bunch of 3Chi before coming on here?
Well, listen, there's a chance I ate a couple gummies a few hours ago. But, you know, listen, here's the deal.
I have a 3Chi drawer in my house now.
Oh, I respect that. I got the box.
The lady reorganized, and we found an empty drawer, which I never had before.
Oh, you know what that means when a woman finds an empty drawer, bro.
Now hear this. Uh-oh. This drawer is now called the 3Chi drawer. Find all your finest oils, tinctures, gummies, and vapes in that drawer. Delta 8, it's legal.
Wow. I'm telling you, that's what happens when you get the empty drawer when it comes loose. You know what I mean? The empty drawer, well, that's a big deal to a woman.
I now have a glasses drawer, a drawer dedicated to nothing but the 27 pairs of reading glasses I have and 7 pairs of sunglasses, which I didn't know I had until the reorganization and cleaning took place.
Yeah.
So
I'll tell you, listen, this is a top level organization. Okay?
I have a koozie drawer full of, and it's a deep drawer because somehow I have accumulated no less than 700 koozies.
I will say this. I've never drank around anybody that requested or searched or looked for a koozie as much as you.
I love it. Keep that.
You're always
cold.
You're always on the lookout for your koozie. Your koozie, as you say.
Especially koozie.
Koozie.
Especially because I'm a cooler dude. I'm old school Indiana cooler dude. So when you pull out a dripping wet beer, I don't want that shit all over my hand. I don't want to set it down and then soak into the wood grain bar. I'm going to put that shit in a koozie. My koozie's always wet.
I never put two and two together with that. With the wet can.
Koozies were made for cooler guys. So if you're a cooler guy, carries your beer around in a cooler, that's how the koozie came to be, because you're always dealing with this dripping ass wet can of beer or bottle.
Wow.
I'm full of all kinds of knowledge in this episode, Sean.
I'll tell you what, this episode right now, you're going to want to go ahead and bookmark it. It's going to be full of fun facts and other stuff that you might want to come back to reference.
Pro Backyard Drinker Guy.
We're here live with Pro Backyard Drinker Todd McComas. Now, Todd is one of the early advocates for the koozie. He's a big koozie guy because he drinks out of a cooler. I always thought it was more about temperature regulation, but I did not know it was also used basically as a towel, a makeshift towel for said beer from cooler.
Back in the early 1980s, late 1980s, I was drinking a beer fresh out of my cooler, and I saw a little boy screaming for help. His dog was trapped in a car that was on fire. Now, I stopped my car immediately, set my beer down, but this was pre-koozie, so my hand's dripping wet. I reached in to grab the dog from the burning vehicle, but my hand was so slippery from that ice-cold, dripping wet can of beer that my hand slipped off right before the fire completely engulfed the car. And the dog was forever lost. If that would have happened post-koozie, I would have saved that dog's life. Because I would have had dry hands.
Yeah. Guess what? That dry hand right now would be throwing a ball out in the yard and he'd be playing fetch. But no, it's not the case.
Couldn't save the dog. Wet beer hand. Wet cooler beer hand.
Let's go ahead and take a moment of silence for the doggy. And also another moment of silence for you guys to go ahead and head over to our YouTube page and subscribe to Guns Blazing Podcast. It's Guns Blazing, no G.
No G. If you Google that shit with a G, good luck with what you get. It's a lesser product. That's all I'm saying.
Just because they have views don't mean shit, okay? Ours are coming. They're just in the mail. People don't get it, man. Our views are coming. They're just in the mail, bro. I just got back from one of the most electric sporting events I've been to in quite some time, Todd.
What was that?
The New Jersey State Conference Finals. Men's high school volleyball. My girl's son.
Oh, no. I watched it on ESPN.
Yeah. Well, I was there courtside live.
Okay.
It was conference finals. But my girl's son's team, they're 20-1. All right, they were like 16-0, took an L at the state at the conference championships.
Mm-hmm.
Too many mental mistakes. The final set. Anyways, we come back, we march back, we claw right, we just blow right through the first three rounds of the state tournament, and then tonight we played Old Bridge, New Jersey, and
fucking Old Bridge.
They went overtime all the way up. I think the score of the final set was like 39-37, and we're talking about that's 25 is the point limit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how much back and forth. I didn't like the ref. I didn't like what's going on with the refs. They weren't really doing their job.
You got to win by calls. Two.
Yeah, a lot of tic-tac, nicky-nack calls at crucial, crucial times. We had the game won. And then the second set, we just had too many a few too many self errors, and we just couldn't come back. And we took the second, we took loss today at State. And
unforced errors will kill
you. Unforced errors are going to kill you.
Kill you.
And Old Bridge won, and they celebrated, bro. This fucking place was electric, bro. I mean, this gym was electric. There wasn't a seat in the house open. Student sections were popping, bro. We're cheering, we're yelling, we're screaming. I'm fucking yelling, bro.
What are some of the most popular high school volleyball crowd chants right now? Like in basketball, in my era, we had MIS, SIT, miss it, whoopee was a big one during free throws. Air ball was another one. So what do you hear at a high school volleyball state level tournament from the crowd in 2021?
We heard, today I heard this chant. I heard, side out, side out. When they were serving, there was some booze. There was a bunch of others, but unfortunately, due to the intake of marijuana products over a very long period of time, I cannot recall the other chants.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he was electric, man.
Well, next season. Well, there's no next season. When you
go to college, you got a D1 scholarship.
Well, the crowds aren't going to be the same. All right, so you're going to have to go back next season to his high school and watch a game, turn on your recorder, and record the chant so we know.
I'm going to do that. Let me know what. Actually, I'm going to let everybody go ahead and head over to YouTube real quick while I put that in my 2022 calendar.
Okay.
But you guys can head over to the YouTube or the Instagram, you know, the Twitter.
Subscribe.
Go ahead and subscribe.
Translation channel, no G.
And then I'm on my way back though. Don't worry, I am coming back. Oh, and it's now in my calendar.
There you go.
Boom. Next year it's on.
Next May, next June, sometime we're gonna need to hear those chants.
You'd be really surprised, bro, how electric that shit was. I couldn't believe it, man.
How do you think? After the movie with Tom Hanks, Castaway, mm-hmm. came out, mm-hmm. how many seasons do you think of volleyball, high school volleyball, after that, where they're just hordes of Wilson volleyballs being held up in the crowd with the bloody handprint face?
You know, I think, and also the thing is this, is that Wilson must have paid a lot because no one gives a fuck about the Wilson ball.
Except Tom Hanks, he fucking fell in love with it.
Well, yeah, Tom Hanks, I was his best friend. I mean, mm-hmm. again, you don't judge your friends solely based off their athletic skill set.
No.
You know, listen, is Wilson the best ball? No, but is it possibly the most friendliest of balls? I haven't been best
friends.
That's
why I was washed up on the shore of an abandoned island. I mean, somebody threw that shit away.
See, I was under the impression that the FedEx, that someone had bought one of these shitty balls for their little grandson, not knowing any better.
I mean, it's possible. I think he did open it from a box, so probably it was some shitty grandma that doesn't know anything about sports bought her grandson a Wilson volleyball that he was going to fucking hate, and then boom.
But also be best friends with. But here's also the deal. What are the odds that grandma buys the ball that has the name that could be a person and just so happens that the ship, the plane that's transporting said shit ball, but also luckily has the same name as a person, was going to go down and Tom Hanks was going to hang out with that ball?
Well, they shot the movie two different ways. Every one of those scenes was shot two different ways. One was shot with Spalding. So they shot it both ways and they put it in front of focus groups to see which got the better reaction.
Oh,
Wilson won because Tool Time was a big ass TV show at the time. And the next door neighbor, which you could never see his face over the fence, his name was Wilson. So they think that's what probably was in the focus group's head, but they liked Wilson, you know, like it was like 70, the vote was like 73 to 17 out of 100. So boom, they're going to keep the Wilson cuts.
Spalding! It doesn't have the same, you know.
No, Caddyshack had been too far removed. Mm-hmm. Now, if they had made this closer after Caddyshack, because Spalding was a big name, that quote from Caddyshack would have carried it over, and I think we'd have been looking at a different movie then.
Yeah, yeah. But we took an L today, ended up in the season. They were like 21-2. Hell of a season, though. These boys played hard. And now it's off to college. I get to go watch college volleyball now. That's really, they're really fucking banging it, bro.
There you go. How far do you have to travel to watch these volleyball games?
His school is about, I don't know, 9 miles from the house, 8 miles, seven miles.
That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough.
No, no, that's right now.
No, I'm talking about when he goes to college.
Oh, that's going to be a little bit more of a hike. He's going to college in Connecticut. He's going to Sacred Heart in Connecticut.
It's what, like a 4 or 5 hour drive?
Yeah, it's about a 4 hour drive, maybe 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think you can still make it happen. You got a new truck. It's under warranty. Why not? I say, why not?
Why not do it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's doable. I have the means. Do it. Go ahead. Get it done. Handle it. Be there. In flesh.
Side out. Side out. I love that.
You know some other good ones they had. You know some really good ones. Oh, there was one good one. When one team took a timeout break, the other guy started screaming, "Rattled! Rattled!" That was a good one.
Rattled.
Just getting rattled, bro. Getting rattled up.
Because all those unforced errors. He wasn't wrong. They were getting rattled.
He wasn't wrong. You know what else wasn't wrong? Me deciding to drink this cocktail. This is a good-ass idea.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Went over to the Columns for dinner. That's a dope-ass bar on the water in our little neighborhood here. You know, food. Mm-hmm. Got a little food menu there. Beers right in the water, chilling out. I did a little inquiry tonight, Todd. I got the itch to have my own room again.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I've always had my own room off and on, you know, throughout my career.
You're not talking about a room in your house. You're talking about a comedy room.
Yeah, about having a little Wednesday night or a Tuesday night. You know what I mean? Something, that hurt. Something to, you know, work out material on. Not only that, also get other comedians out. Pay some more people. Get some business driven to a bar on a night that they don't have nobody. And I'm telling you, the room, I've only owned, somehow, I've never just done a place to do a place. So it's always been pretty sweet little spot. Like, I always have to have, like, a vibe of the place when I'm there. Like, this place has a vibe that I like that makes me want to keep on doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can walk into a room and tell if it's going to make for a good show or not.
Yeah, and this place has it, bro. It's like, it's got the low roof, you know, it's got a nice bar in the back. It's got good high top seating. I mean, we're talking a good spot. And I think I did some inquiry just, you know, or today I did a little bit of research. And it's ripe for the picking. This is, do I want to pull the trig? You know what I mean? What
kind of research did you do? Like on the architectural design, you're like, oh, this is going to have good acoustics because of the interior of the walls. What kind of research do you need to do to decide if a room is going to be a good comedy room or not?
Well, first of all, they have a lot of bands play there already. So the stage is money. Low ceiling, money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, on Wednesday nights and Tuesday nights, it's not rowdy and they stop serving dinner at 8. So the kids are gone by 8.
All right. So, very important.
Yeah. There's not really a built-in crowd that on Wednesday, Tuesday nights. So I would be the guy to bring them there. So that means that we can set the pace on how it is. This isn't the bar night. This is comedy night.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I like it. So and, it's not like a back room. It's just in the bar itself.
Yeah, but there's like a showroom that's off to the from the bar. It's all kind of open. I'll send you some pics.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's got a lot of potential. I think it could be sweet. And, you know, I can work on material, get a lot more comedy in, and make a little scratch.
There you go. That's what it's all about. I had a business meeting today in a bar, and I did not have an alcoholic beverage.
Wow.
I was impressed with myself.
Why?
One of the guys even asked me. They're like, I had a bet with my son that you were going to be drinking a beer because I got here late, and you're drinking a Coke. I just lost my bet. And I was like, well, I'm a professional.
He's a pro. Hello. He's a pro.
Plus, I don't have any koozies, so...
Yes, we're trying to make some moves. I'm still looking to incorporate this sweet lamp that I got at the bed and breakfast that was going, that sold, that me and my lady scooped up. I'm still trying to figure out what to do with the lamp, Todd.
You got a lamp that what?
Well, me and my lady scooped up that lamp. We've talked about it in the past.
But you found a lamp?
Well, there was a bed and breakfast that sold.
My girl's,
the neighborhood where we live. There's a little cute. There's some cute ass houses that just happen to also be a bed and breakfast. But like, you know, they could sleep 20, 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them sold it, and he was giving away all the stuff. So I scooped up this sweet ass lamp. I mean, look at it. Let me show you. Let me wheel it over here. Look at this guy. That's a nice lamp.
Stained glass shade on it.
Yeah, the little buddy lamp.
Little desk lamp.
Yeah, a little something nice.
I like a good stained glass.
I'll tell you what, if I keep on watching TikTok, I'm going to be at Walmart trying to find what products I can sell on Amazon for twice as much. My lady's hitting us with some spray because I must stink right now.
Uh-oh.
So I'm hitting the whole room, just got hit with about 12 spritzers of stuff. Now, it could be the remnants of the aroma of a little tough actin tenactin. Okay? Your boy might be out here hosing his feet down with some tough actin tenactin, with a little... itchy feet. Some would say that the more athletic gentlemen get it, called athlete's foot.
Mm-hmm. If you've never had athlete's foot, it's because you're not good at sports.
You suck at sports if you never had itchy feet. I mean, that's just facts.
Mm-hmm. I have had athlete's feet several times because I started.
Yeah.
And I sweat, which meant I needed to shower after the game, and I'm not wearing shower shoes. Because you know why? I'm old school.
I mean, come on. Have some class. You know when I wear shower shoes? When I'm doing a fucking 2 weeks in county. That's when I wear it. Because now we're taking a shower with 30 to 40 other prisoners. That's when you rock the shower shoes, not your own home. Come on.
I've also had ringworm at least 14 times in my wrestling career.
Plus, you had 3 urinary tract infections, and that's not a big deal.
But that wasn't from sports.
Well, some say it was from some of your athletic ability.
I think it was more of...
co-ed softball nights were never the same after that.
I think it was more of the class of mom that was getting action.
You were getting a little out of rambunctious. You were riding your moped into some bars, into some, you know, some sketchier suburban areas.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of bing, bang, boom. Next thing you know, you're spraying your balls.
Come back to my trailer, and I do... 2 days later, urinary tract infection. UTI.
Hello. Hello.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you, Heather.
And Janice. And Lisette. Todd doesn't discriminate.
Did I ever tell you about the time I was in the Marine Corps and we went back to a young lady's trailer to party?
Mm-mm.
And I ruined the whole night for everybody?
What'd you do?
We went back to her trailer. This was in South Carolina, the town of Beaufort.
Okay.
There's a Marine Corps air station there, partying on a weekend, meet some girls in a bar, go back to one girl's trailer. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, somebody breaks out a funnel. So we're doing that, funneling beers. And then there's a fifth of Orange Mad Dog 2020. So I'm like, I will do that through the funnel and straight down. And I held it for about 8 seconds. And then my stomach said, nope. And then like the Exorcist, I'm just Orange Mad Dog 2020 all over the place. And she had white carpet and for some reason, a white couch. And it just
in the trailer
coated it in the trailer.
Did they ask those lovely ladies ask you guys to go ahead and take off?
Yeah. They immediately said, why don't you guys just get the fuck out of here, jump in your Jeep, and drive back to base. And that's what we did.
While we clean off all this fucking Mad Dog 2020 throw up.
And I had Mad Dog 2020 just dripping down my chin. And I just looked up and I was like, so nobody wants to have sex? And they're like, nope.
Does it mean we're not going to have sex tonight in this trailer? Ballsy move to go Mad Dog 2020 in the beer bong, though, dude. Wow, what a move by McComas.
Hindsight being 2020, no pun intended, bad move. If anybody younger than us is right now thinking that might be something you want to break out as a little party trick, you know what? Don't do it unless you're ready for that night to end in the next 8 seconds.
Yeah.
It's like riding a bull. 8 seconds, that's all you get.
And that's it. And that's it. And that's it. Next thing you know, you're out on your ass with your own thumb up your own butt, wondering just what had happened was.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when they didn't have cab. They didn't have Uber then. Okay.
No.
You had to wait.
Drive your pukey ass back in your Jeep to the base and hope that the town cops didn't stop you along the way.
I'll tell you what, driving around the little CJ7 Jeep with the window down in the front. What a move if you're in the Army or you're out there on base.
Oh yeah,
I would buy the old CJ7
because we had a beach on our base, right? So because we were right off the ocean, South Carolina, beautiful Beaufort by the Sea, we called it. So we would get in my buddy's Jeep and just we were kings of the base. If you had a fucking Jeep with the top down and you were rolling around base or rolling around the townies, oh shit!
Watch you must just have your cock hanging out, just let people come by for free licks.
And you're running around in your Marine Corps t-shirt, and then all the town girls are like, oh, get me pregnant.
Yeah, put a baby in me.
It was a good time.
You know, and I mean, the Jeep, you just might as well go around with the tip out, letting people take pictures with it.
I mean, that's what we did.
That's a move right there.
They were Polaroids back then, but you know, you wave it in the air, give it a good 8-10 seconds, boom, you got a picture.
I bet there's a guy running around with just an absolute monster hog with like a really hilarious tattoo on it that somehow makes women laugh when they blow them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's got to be a guy.
Hey, I met a guy.
Uh-huh.
He committed a murder. He was a murderer. But when I was doing his evidence collection kit of his body, because it was that kind of crime, turned out giant hog and completely tattooed in fish scales.
His whole hog was tatted up in fish scales?
From tip to stem, baby.
Oh, my God. What a psycho move.
Got it done in prison, he said.
Oh, just the old prison tattoo just fucking digging in my cock for me real quick.
This wasn't at like LA Inc., mind you, a fine establishment where you could sit back and have a cocktail in a barber chair to get your dick fish scaled. This was in somebody else's cell, and they're doing it with an ink pen and a razor blade.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine how hard that dude is? Well, in many ways, but I would assume you have to keep it hard to get. I mean, there were fish scales top to bottom. There wasn't like missing area. So I don't know what he was doing to be able to keep it up during the whole tattoo when he was in prison. But I mean, leave that to your imagination. But I had to take a good 7-8 hours.
Just someone digging on your dick, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what.
And not faded as much as you would think from an old prison tattoo. Usually those things fade pretty quickly because they don't get deep enough in the skin. This one kept its color quite nicely.
Well, lucky for you to be able to stare at said cock long enough to get so much detail. You know what I mean? Really strike up a convo about it.
Talking about tattoos always reminds me of my pops because me and my dad, he never got a Marine Corps tattoo when he was in the Marine Corps. So he one day in his older age was like, I'm going to get the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor tattoo. I never got it when I was in the Marine Corps. So I was like, well, let's go. I'll pay for it. So I paid for it for his birthday. And then I got myself another tattoo that I'm ashamed of. And then next thing you know, it was a great father-son outing and a great Father's Day gift. And I don't know what you're into as far as Father's Day gifts. You should start thinking about it because it's right around the corner. You don't have to get your dad a tattoo. You know, you just get him something that says, I love you, Dad.
You mean something right? Like a world-class trimmer for his balls, Todd?
Exactly. I mean, you heard that right. The Lawnmower 3.0 from Manscaped is the best body hair trimmer on the market.
Yeah. Let me tell you guys something right now. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, and you can get the hookup for 20% off right now plus free shipping with code GUNSBLAZIN. That's GUNSBLAZIN at manscaped.com, guys. That is called the hookup, okay? Manscaped is the only man's brand, guys, that's dedicated to below-the-waist grooming and just launched their performance package, which is the perfect gift for your dad this upcoming Father's Day. Todd, we're talking about the perfect gift here. Let him know.
Listen, I was at a gym probably 3 years ago. It's when I belonged to a gym. And I go to the shower afterward. And there was a dude in there with the biggest ball fro, dude. I mean, it was like a baby bird in a nest. It was like, you know, old school NBA afro around his balls, right? And I'm looking at it, and I was like, bro, this is 2018, I think, at the time. I'm like, it's 2018. Why do you have such a gigantic ball fro? And he was like, well, I'm a Civil War reenactor, and I take my job as a Civil War reenactor very seriously. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense, because during the Civil War back then, you just had to have a giant ball fro. There was really no way to safely trim that down, right?
Yeah.
So don't be like a Civil War reenactor, all right? We're not living during that time period anymore. This is 2021, all right? We have billionaires funding their own space travel. We have technology. Get your balls cleaned up.
Get them. Listen. That's enough. Take that fro, and then you're gonna go ahead and get your Manscaped 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system right down there and take care of business. Let me tell you something, guys. 79% of partners admitted that long nose hair are a major turnoff. Mm-hmm. Okay? Why not hook up dad with the best tools for the job here? Mom ain't trying to see that. Mom don't want that. Mom said, hey, if you got to help dad, help him. Here, give this to him.
Give him that. We're talking about a bundle that includes the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer because of their safe skin technology. This is the best trimmer on the market for your balls, butt, and body. And the trimmer comes with a cool-ass little LED light, and it's waterproof so you can trim in the shower.
Yeah, that way there's no mess out in the in the bathroom floor. Get in the shower and do that. And this, you know, and my favorite part is, especially as a guy who likes to travel, Todd, guys who travel a lot, this is the perfect trimmer for people who travel. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's so easy to use, and you're not going to nick yourself. So there's not going to be blood all over the hotel room when you leave in the bathroom. And then somebody's going to call the cops thinking somebody got murdered there. Because that bleeds a lot.
What's going on in here?
Let's not forget about their famous liquid formulations, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner to maximize your ball hygiene routine. Why are your balls ugly? Why are your balls ugly? There's no
excuse. You got some ugly nuts. You guys got ugly-ass nuts.
I don't want to see your ugly-ass nuts.
Put
dress
some ball deodorant, bro. Crop, you know.
Smelly, ugly-ass nuts.
Crop Reviver Ball Toner, okay? Tone your balls up. Seriously, guys. What are we doing here? You have untoned balls, Todd, I mean, come on. Who are these? If you have untoned balls and you know that this situation is available for 20% off and you still choose to listen to us and not take care of your untoned balls, do us a favor. Get off our feed.
Get off the feed.
Get off the feed.
With your untoned balls. Get the performance package now to receive their two free gifts. The Manscaped boxers, which are probably the most comfortable boxers I've ever put on over my balls, and the Shed Travel Bag. The performance package is the best value that Manscaped has to offer and is hot off the shelves. How much do we get off again with our code?
20% off, Todd, plus free shipping with code GUNSBLAZIN at manscaped.com, bro. Hook yourself up or hook your dad up. It's Father's Day almost. This is a gift that keeps on giving.
Come on. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code GUNSBLAZING. You know how to spell it. Don't forget that you came from your dad's balls. So take care of your dad's balls. This year, show your original home some love with Manscaped.
Man, that's what you want to do. Let your dads know that his balls are important to you.
Dad, thanks for holding me in your balls all that time.
Yeah. And guess what? I'm going to go ahead and help you make sure that those things stay well maintained, Dad. You know what I mean? Fire this guy up.
Here's the gift for the balls that once held me and kept me safe.
The old Sunday morning, 7:30
morning. Long ass swim through the ovary canal.
Yep.
Boom. God. I was such a good swimmer then. You know, I think about all the time. Why did I not become a Navy SEAL? Because I was the best swimmer of all the sperm that my dad had. The best swimmer. I got there first.
You got there first, bro. And you were waiting. From what I understand, from what I've heard from interviews and whatnot, that you actually were sitting there. You were the number one sperm that was sitting there waiting for the rest of them to show up. And that's why you became you and the rest of them lost, because you're the number one guy and you're Todd.
Yeah, absolutely. I was fucking Mark Spitz. I think he might have been a sprinter, but, you know, whoever that real good swimmer was that won all those gold medals, I was that guy as a sperm.
Yeah, yeah. Guess what else? I heard that when you got there finally to the ovary, that you actually had went to the snack bar, grabbed a cheeseburger, you know, got yourself a beer, came back. You said, pardon me, excuse me. You know, you got to a seat, you got seated.
Mm-hmm.
You enjoyed your cheeseburger and your beer before the rest of the guys even showed up, bro.
I lapped the other sperm. I got to the end.
Uh-huh.
I got to the ovaries and I went back and started over again and still passed them a second time.
Called the starting ovaries move. It's a whole new ball game. People don't even get it.
People don't even know how fast I was as a sperm.
No, bro. You have a plaque still up in the Sperm Hall of Fame.
I do. I hold the record.
Fastest buddy from the nut to the butt.
Yeah. For the fastest fallopian tube swim. I don't even
know. Yes. The fallopian 500.
Yes. Yeah.
You were there.
Still have the record for that. Some Russian kid almost beat it last year. Some Russian sperm.
And guess what, though? Second place for him.
Mm-hmm.
Second place.
Still couldn't get it, baby.
Wild that you just that. Do you ever just look back and just go, wow, I can't believe that was me? Do you ever just kind of sit aside, like step out of yourself and look at them wall of achievements? You know, the Fallopian 500 back-to-back winner. You know, the number one sperm, you became a person. All these records, all these accolades, all these achievements. Can you ever just kind of step out of it and just look at it from a third party's perspective and just go, wow.
I tell you, every time I think about it, Sean, it brings tears to my eyes, because I don't know how far back most people can remember into their childhood. But I remember winning that race as a sperm and being... And the number one, the champion podium, the tire, the number two and the number three, and then putting that medal around my neck and playing the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just a moment I'll never forget. Ever.
That's big time stuff, man.
I mean,
I really
I beat out a Russian sperm who got number two, and then a Chinese sperm got number three. So I don't know what kind of party.
Well, Taiwanese.
I don't know what kind of party my mom was having that night, but you know, I had to beat out a Russian.
It was a potluck. It was definitely a potluck of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I had seen the flyer, and I was doing some other shit at the time, but I mean, I just used. You know, you look at these guys, you look at the records, you look at you know, who gets the recognition. But then when you really get down to it, when you really get down to the nitty gritty, it's the guys like you that they're overlooking. It's the blue collar sperm, the guys in the front of the pack. I mean, you did a fucking nutsack around the back, double fucking flapjack and still went in.
The lunch pail sperm, you know, carrying a lunch pail to work every day. Speaking That's the of kind of sperm that make it.
Speaking of lunch boxes, Todd, I remember being in second grade and I was in a little school called Tennyson Elementary School in Ohio. It was in the, I believe, Lorain County area. And I had a nice metal pail. You know, I had a real nice A-team lunchbox.
The A-team.
Come on, we do not have fucking A-team. You know?
Oh,
I thought you were going Indiana Jones on him.
I might have been.
Anyways, I used to be cool, and I would go, oh, watch this. And I don't know if this caused any early damage, but I used to, for whatever reason, show off in front of people. I would bang my lunchbox on my head.
Mm.
I would go, wham! And I would do it for people, like a fucking show.
That's the second grade mating call right there. That's how you impress the ladies.
I don't know to this day what I felt that. And I remember I broke my lunchbox, and I had to explain to my mother.
And
I'm doing a show. I do two shows at lunch.
Mm-hmm. One is the early show. Lunch pail to the cranium show.
Yeah. I close with the lunch pail bit. You know, I was closing with the lunch pail bit.
And then on the second show, I spit milk on my nose.
I did the milk nose thing.
Mm-hmm.
One time I decided I was going to take my milk when I was done with it. And I was going to blow it up a little bit of air and shut it. And then I was going to put it on the floor.
Uh-huh.
And then I jumped off my seat onto the fucking cart, the carton of milk, and it went boom, dude. It fucking shook the lunchroom, bro. Shook the lunchroom, bro. It sounded like a fat ass gunshot went off. I just hit this fucking thing perfectly with the back of my heel straight down off that chair. If you never did this, you can do it with Capri Suns. You know, you blow the air back into it, then you lay it on its side, you jump down onto it, pow, you know.
Boom.
Same thing with the little cups of little cartons of milk we used to get.
Mm.
We used to do that shit after school. I did it one time. I said, fuck, I'm going to do it during lunch. And I did it, and I had to go to the principal's office, and we were not happy. It could have been gunshot, Sean.
In college, we used to make 2-liter bombs, and it was where you would take an empty 2-liter of like Pepsi or Coke or whatever, and then you would pour some liquid works, like powder stuff that clears drains or whatever, in the bottom of it. And then you would crumple up little balls of aluminum foil, and you would drop those in there, and then you would screw the cap on. And what happens is there's a reaction between the aluminum foil and the liquid works, and gas builds up. So eventually, enough that the gas is going to get out, and it sounds like a fucking cannon going off when it goes. So what we would do is we would set that up, screw the lid back on, shake it, and then leave it in front of somebody's apartment door, and then bang real hard, and then run. So about the time that they went to open the door, boom, it's like a flashbang. Same effect as a flashbang. God, very damn illegal.
Hellbilly stuff.
Very, very illegal. And I think some bad things happened from those 2-liter bombs after, because it became part of a legislation where they defined them as an actual explosive device.
Yeah.
But when we were doing them in college, they didn't fit the statute yet.
Nope. It was just good old college fun when you were doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Just old college fun. Nothing terroristic about this, Your Honor. You know what I mean? Just some guys and having a good time blowing stuff up in Indiana, where this is kind of where we gotta do it.
A good old knock'em bomb, we called it.
Now, what state do you think has the most underground bunkers of people who are like preppers?
I want to say maybe New Mexico.
Really?
Because they're always preparing for an alien invasion.
Hmm.
So I don't think
the South, you don't think it's more of a conservative thing than it is a liberal Democrat thing. You don't think that there's more paranoia or more like a conspiracy of big government on the right side to make people feel the need to dig a big ass hole and drop down a big pipe in it and fucking deck it all out?
There's definitely more in the conservative South than there is like coastally. Like liberal coastline, because for one, liberals don't own shovels. Two, the conservatives in the South are convinced that there will be some type of race war or some kind of other war, like that like gay people are going to try to kill them or something like that.
Take over,
they
rise
have that
up
mindset. So they're always preparing to go underground. But I think New Mexico might have them beat because there are so many that believe that there's an upcoming alien invasion, which is probably true.
And I didn't know that New Mexico. I mean, I knew outside the fact that Bob Lazar said they're hosting the, you know, the reverse engineered floating spaceships and shit. But I didn't realize that the people overall were more paranoid and had the money and the ability to build a fucking bunker like that many. I think Colorado's up there. I think Kentucky. I think Florida.
When you go to New Mexico, there are entire networks of these people that because of Area 51, and they, and if you're a person of that mindset anywhere in the country and you're really, really into it, eventually you move to New Mexico and you join these groups. So they're very organized.
Didn't know that.
I know that because of the murder of Gurley Chu.
Okay.
That I covered on 1041. Mm-hmm. It was very much involved with these UFO conspiracy groups. So I'm not going to say there's more bunkers than the Deep South that's preparing for some kind of civil war.
Okay.
But there are some definitely, I would say, more complex ones there. Like you might actually like a bunker with really smart nerds down there that have set up the ability to keep the internet going.
Yeah.
Like 30 feet underground.
Now, are we allowed to launch off our own satellites if we have the ability to get a satellite up there?
Ourselves?
Can we make a satellite and then let NASA kind of just like drop it off once they get up there, their next mission? Or if we ask Elon Musk nicely, hey, buddy, can you also like let this fall out the ship when you get to the whatever level of distance from the planet that you have to drop off a satellite that will catch the orbit?
Do you think, let me ask you this. Do you think they would even know? Would they even catch us firing off our own satellite into space?
Well, I mean, realistically, we need something that's going to be powerful enough to get it up there.
Mm-hmm. But we go way out in the middle of the desert somewhere, miles from civilization, and we shoot this puppy off without any permits or authorization. Yeah. Will someone detect that? I bet they probably would. They probably have constant radar traffic going, and they're like, oh, shit, something's flying up towards space, and they probably send a jet out there immediately and shoot it down.
Like, who installed the SiriusXM satellites? Who installed them? Look, we know a lot of people behind the scenes in Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
I know 5 to 6 producers right now on speed dial. I'll get the goddamn, you know, satellite up there. It's not a matter of that happening.
We know Gonzo.
I know Gonzo. I'll call Gonzo right now.
So
now I just want to know if that's the case. Can I still have my iPad if we launch our own satellite in there?
I think so.
You think so?
I think so.
We just have to have a network, right? With a router and our name and a name.
You probably would just.
Are we gonna have a password on our Wi-Fi and stay in space, or?
Yeah.
Do you think you bypass the Wi-Fi password? Because you're not really that many people that are trying to really, you know, bogart your shit up there.
Just look for guns blazing illegal as fuck. Yes, _2021
AF obviously.
And the password is breaking the law.
Breaking the law twice, back to back. Breaking the law.
Capital B's.
No G.
Capital B, no G. Breaking the law.
Big fan of BG bags, by the way.
If you ever go to space and you need a hotspot,
get at us.
You're welcome.
Get at us. Maybe that's our big move. That's how we get rich. Selling hotspots to those fuckos that go up into space.
It's got to suck to get up there and not have the internet.
Now, do we have to have 3 satellites in order to constantly have the whole planet covered with our signal? Because you got to have that triangle, right? They have to be far enough apart that they can always see each other, but they're on each side of the planet. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, that's what it's called, triangulation, Todd.
I know that
you're not as advanced as far as the hyper supersonic engineering world as I am.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's called triangulation. Global dominance with a signal.
I think satellite. You send up one giant communication satellite, and then uh-huh. it feeds these tinier ones that are out there to just kind of amplify the signal. It's like those little Wi-Fi amplifiers you can buy for your house and plug into the light socket.
Yeah. But you're saying just launch that off on the other side, do the triangle that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, if it doesn't work out, we're always going to be able to troubleshoot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We'll have teams. We'll have work trucks, work chips. There'll be the guy, the spaceship's going to have those little, it's going to have like those things on the back of the bed of the ship with like the little drawers and stuff that you can open up and get your tools to work on space satellites and whatnot.
I'm going
to
put truck nuts on the back of my spaceship.
You got to put truck nuts. Do you think it's funny if you put truck nuts on the back of your roll around big ass $2,000 toolbox?
I love it.
What wouldn't truck nuts be nice on? Because I think right now that the potential for the truck nut to expand into other categories, boats, you know, let's have floating truck nuts.
Why not?
Dog toys, truck nut dog toys, anvils, fucking anchors, truck nut anchors, boats, boom, drop nuts here.
Yeah.
I feel like planes.
I want them for my motorcycle. I want them for your everything bike. That moves.
What about kids' bicycles that have training wheels, but they're just both nuts on each side, but with a wheel under them?
I would respect that kid.
Like a truck nut trail, like truck nut training wheels.
Truck nut training wheels are the future. Yeah.
Training wheel truck nuts.
They're gonna go like fucking gangbusters in the South.
What about a stroller that looks like truck nuts, but then there's a baby seat in the middle? Listen, ideas off. I mean, Todd, you and I can sit here for two bonus episodes and just really knock this out if we wanted. I mean, we'd call it the truck nut special.
Why has there never been a baby seat, a car seat that looks like a set of nuts that holds the baby?
Truck nuts.
That's where babies come from.
I think I have my next move here, my next idea with the truck nut. It might be groundbreaking on several levels. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm talking about the hot dog with truck nuts. So, but when you get to the shaft, you know, it's like you're really putting work on some real truck cock. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a hot dog. And then when you get to the bottom of it, you're eating that last bite. It looks like you're deep throating the truck cock. But it's you're not. It's just a hot dog with truck nuts.
Now, here's an idea for you. You know, when babies first are born, they miss the warm, wet, dark environment that they came from, right? Mm-hmm. So why has no one ever come out with like a thing to keep babies calm and from crying where you just, it looks like a vagina and you just slide them into the lips of the vagina. And then when it closes, they're inside it. And that environment is just like where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not enough that they can't breathe. We'll put air holes and stuff in it, but it, for the most part, it feels like it's still inside the vagina.
Like that still has that same home feeling.
And then when you need to get the baby out, it's like you're the doctor and you're just, you reach in and you
get it out
and you pull the baby back out of the vagina.
I'll tell you what,
to feed it.
If it's not a thing, they got to start looking at it. I mean, the numbers are there. Statistically, it works. Mathematically, it works. Again, this is just another idea here. Guns blazing. Podcast ideas court. That's inbounds, Todd.
They probably tried to come out with it once, and then just too many dudes were fucking them, and it just screwed it all up.
Yeah, let's say for a gay gift idea, truck nut, you know, mistletoe. You can also have truck nuts that are also the little triangles that you put behind boat wheels so it doesn't roll down the dock.
I'm going to write this idea down right now so we don't lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So we can work on this at our next business meeting. Truck nut mistletoe. Because I think that's a winner.
What about a fly swatter in the shape of truck nuts? So that when you slap somebody in the cheek, it's like you're slapping them with nuts.
I love that. I love that idea. What? How about a little
fly swatter? Also, who don't want to kill a fly with a set of truck nuts?
Right? You just swing
a shape of truck nuts.
You got a little handle, and you just swing the nuts. And
well, you can also do that if you want to scale buildings, you know. But I'm talking about like a fly swatter in the shape of truck nuts.
Mm-hmm. No.
So it's like you're just dragging nuts all over flies. Pow.
Mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
I mean, these are ideas. We might have to cut this whole section out. This might be too much. They're going to run with this. You know, we have a bunch of entrepreneurial ass fucking thug ass intelligent entrepreneurs and business people and billionaires and pilots and whatnot on our feed.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to mark the edit point. You guys won't be able to hear this part because we're probably going to make millions of dollars off of. We're going to have the sleeping bag vagina for young babies and truck nut mistletoe.
Now, here's a new thing. Now, this might be bigger than the show itself. This could cancel the podcast and we'll have to work it out. We might need this extra time for this idea.
Mm-hmm.
Truck butts. Oh. It's fat ass cheeks dangling instead of nut sacks.
I mean, that's for everybody. It's not just gender specific now. It fits today's climate politically.
Truck butts, dude.
Come on, truck butts. Writing that down.
Write that down, man.
Why has nobody thought of this before?
Are people even trying?
Is the automobile novelty gift industry
on break
right now? Is it a ass vacation, or it's because we're all working from home right now?
Was it 2 week mandatory? I mean, what are we doing here?
Jesus,
you have the nuts, guess what? And the mold, take out the wrinkles, guess what you got there? Truck butt.
Ladies, we didn't leave you out. Guess what? You loved truck nuts, but you couldn't have them on your truck. Now we got truck butts.
Hello. And right now, normally this is a $59.99 price point. But for you right now, we're doing this. Since it's hot off the press, we're trying to hook you up. We're doing $29.99 truck butts. And here's the thing, Todd. We're also going to give people a rubber pair. So if they fall off, the truck butt bounces away to a new home.
And wait, there's more.
What?
If you buy a set of truck butts, we're going to throw in a baby sleeping bag vagina for free. You get not only the truck butts for $59.99, you also get a free baby sleeping bag vagina.
I mean, what more do you want from us as a podcast? We can't offer more. We're losing money as it is now. I've given you people, Todd and I have given you people idea after idea after idea after idea.
We're not feeding a man a fish. We're teaching a man to fish.
Yes.
You'll eat for a lifetime, not just a day. You eat for a lifetime.
Dude, Todd, we could have stopped the truck nuts. You know, we could have stopped that, the rubber truck nuts. We could have stopped that truck nuts on the end of cheeseburger, on the end of hamburgers, so you're full deep throating the nuts. Like, we could have stopped in so many places, but we don't. You know what we do? We keep digging, Todd. We dig and we dig and we dig. And guess what? Now we're the co-creators of fucking, from the creator of the truck nut, the truck butt.
You're welcome. You're welcome, America.
Fat ass butt cheeks dangling from women's trucks.
I'm proud to be an American.
Where at least I know I'm free. You know what I mean?
When I buy a set of truck butts, you throw a baby sleeping bag vagina in for free.
I didn't want to break character. I couldn't help it. This is no laughing matter, people. This is no longer a sketch. This is moved forward. This is now early stages of a business.
And what a business it is. Jesus. Wow. I mean, we're going to surpass Amazon if we break out this new line.
I got one more before we get out of here.
Uh-oh.
You ready? A set of truck nuts that you put on a log. And you hammer it down with a sledgehammer, and it pops, and it's either blue or pink. It's the fucking truck nut gender reveal party.
Whoa, truck nut gender reveal party. What are we talking about here? Oh, my God.
Truck nut gender reveal party. Guess what, everybody?
It's a boy.
You know what I mean?
Bam, 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 bam. God, I mean,
we have so much paperwork to do this week to file. Oh,
trademarks
God.
To secure. Yeah. We got to
trademark
get,
city.
Got to get truckbutt.com, truckbutts.com. Spell it with a Z and a S, and nobody gets either one of them.
Yeah.
God damn it.
We got to get out of here. We got work to do, bro.
We don't have time to keep podcasting. We got to get to work. We got fucking patents to secure as we speak. Sean, this has been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure working with you this evening, buddy.
Jarrett, great work, bro. Love you guys.
Love you, buddy.